In Parshas Re'eh, you have the scenario of the Moados. In fact, not only do we read the three regalim, the three Moados, in Parshas Re'eh, but three times a year we read them. It's the last Torah reading that we have on Achron Shel Pesach, the second day of Shavuos, and Shemini Atzeres. Just as a way of an introduction before we get into the details of the Rav, you understand that unlike Parshas Emor, where we define the characteristics of the day, we define the key mitzvos there. And unlike Parshas Pinchas, where the focus is the Korban Musaf, Parshas Re'eh, the focus is on Drishas Hashchina. Three times a year, all Jews, wherever they may live, whether in a fishing village in the Galilee, down south in the Negev, in the diaspora, we all come together as one people, and we're Doresh the Shechina, the Shichno Tidrashu. Meaning what? It's a rendezvous where we get an education, we learn, we have the opportunity to learn from these Kohanim who for years have been preparing and practicing, and they're some of the best educators we have. And I may not have that exposure in my fishing village, or you may not have that exposure in your small town in the Galilee, but when we come to Yerushalayim, we're transformed. As well, what you have is you sit in and listen to the discussions of the national Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin of the Harabayis, the Sanhedrin al Pesach Hazara, and of course the great Sanhedrin of 71 that sits in the Lishkas Hagazis. And you have a chance to encounter, to be exposed to these conversations, these discussions, to learn from the greatest of the greats. It's an incredible transformational experience that week in Yerushalayim. As well, we're one nation. We describe the simcha that we have with our children, with our spouses, with our servants. But at the same time, Hashem commands us to take care of the Levi, the Ger, the Yasom, the Almana. You know, as Rashi refers to, my four connected your four. Meaning what? The mitzvah is to be Misameach Acherim. It's the great equalizer. Whether you live in Herzliya Pituach or Savanyon, or whether you live in Dimona or Netivot or Ofakim in a development town in the south, when it comes to Yerushalayim, we're all taken care of. We're all guests of the Almighty, and we all have an incredible experience as one people, as one nation, experiencing the holiday, growing educationally through the Kohanim and the Sanhedrins. And that's the experience of the Shalosh Regalim that's described at the end of Parshas Re'eh. What we're going to add is describe some great insights of the Rav affiliated and associated with the three holidays. When it comes to Pesach, the first one mentioned in the seventh Aliyah of Parshas Re'eh, there's a phrase that says the following, okay? Leman tizkor es yom tzeischa me'eretz Mitzrayim kol yemei chayecha. In order that you will be cognizant and you will be aware of the fact that you left Egypt, that Hashem extricated us from slavery from the land of Egypt, kol yemei chayecha. What is that? All the days of your life. So the pashut pshat is there's an obligation of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim each and every day. But there's a drasha that Tosfos quotes. Tosfos is on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis in Brachos, but it's a Yerushalmi. That what happens, we're obligated to do mitzvot Yemei Chayecha, during the days that you live, okay? The days that we're associated with the living, which is most of our life. But there are certain times that our focus is not on Chayecha, on the Chayim, it's on the Mesim. And that, of course, is after we lose a loved one. If we're engaged in the state of Aninus, and Aninus is a terrible time. It's the time between the death and the burial. It's a time when, to quote Chazal, Mi Shemeso Muto Lefanov, the dead is lying before him. It doesn't mean literally, but figuratively. Until you bury your loved one, until there's a sense of closure, a sense of finality, you can't start rebuilding your life. And what happens? Unlike Rashi, who takes the approach that there's a patur from mitzvos ase, you're not engaged in mitzvos because it's not Yemei Chayecha. It's Yemei Meisecha. You're focused on the dead. The famous principle of Osek B'mitzvah, Pater Min HaMitzvah. The Balei Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam, has a totally different approach. They say it's Aser. Even if someone would be taking care of the funeral arrangements, taking care of the Tara of the body, taking care of everything, notifying people about when the funeral will be, where the Shiva is, taking care of all of that, it still doesn't matter. It's prohibited. And I want to quote the Rav. What is the reason behind this law exempting the mourner from the performance of mitzvos? Our commitment to Hashem is rooted in our awareness of human dignity, of Tzelem Elokim. Once the perplexed, despairing individual begins to question whether such distinctiveness or specialness exists, meaning what's unique and special about the human condition, then the whole commitment is suspended. Man who has faith in himself, who is aware of his human charisma, was chosen to carry obligations and commandments. Despairing, skeptical, denying man was not so elected. How can man daven and address Hashem if he doubts his very humanity, if his speech is stripped of its human characteristics and turned into mere physical sounds? How can the Onen say a bracha or say amen if he is speechless? Okay? Now another quote of the Rav. The mourner is relieved of his obligation in mitzvos because he is incapable of performing them. He has lost his own sense of dignity, the focus of his personality. He is like the deaf mute, the imbecile, and minor, who are all exempt from mitzvos. This is what Tosfos and all the Rishonim mean when they say that it is completely forbidden, not just patur, but asur, to perform mitzvos during the stage of aninus, the stage between the death and the burial. The mourner is incapable of performing mitzvos. Yadus understands that bitterness, grief, and confusion, they are noble emotions, which should be assimilated and accepted by man, not rejected at the time of distress, meaning we don't deny that what we're going through. Of course, emotions like the tide, they reach a high mark. They make an about face and they begin to recede. The Torah has therefore recommended to man not only to submit himself to the emotional onslaught, but gradually and slowly to redeem himself from its impact. That, of course, is a transition from aninus to avelus. Then you can start to rebuild that relationship with Hashem. You start to rebuild and have a commitment to life. The halacha divided mourning into various stages. We have during these stages an imperceptible transition from a depressed, desolate, bitter consciousness of catastrophe to a redeemed higher consciousness. Second point is going to associate with Shavuos. The Pasuk says something very interesting, V'asisa Chag Shavuos. You should perform or you should observe the holiday of Shavuos. Like, why does that need to be stated? We already know there's a holiday of Shavuos. So there's a medrash, a Yalkut Shemoni, that explains that it says the following, Vasitza Chag Shavuos Afilo Bezman Hazeh, even today. And the Rav explained what was the medrash dealing with, what was the Hava Amina. And that is this, that if you look in Parshas Emor, unlike any other holiday, which is a function of the date on the calendar, what is the Koveya, what establishes Shavuos? The Sfiras HaOmer. You count 49 days, and then the 50th day, after that complete cycle of 7 weeks, the 50th day is Shavuos. Well, according to almost all Rishonim, the exception being the Rambam amongst the Chachmei Svarad, and the exception being the Or Zeruah amongst the Chachmei Ashkenaz, but everyone else, all of the Ashkenazic, Svardic, and Provençal Rishonim, they all are of the opinion that Bizman HaZeh, Sfiras HaOmer, is strictly a Zecher. It's a Zecher. There's no obligation Bizman HaZeh. There's no Havas HaOmer. There's no Hakravas HaOmer. If that's the case, then there's no Koveya. What establishes Chag Shavuos? It's not a calendar date, because depending on how the calendar works out, Shavuos could end up on the 5th, the 6th, or the 7th of Sivan. So what's going on here? And that's the point, that we observe Shavuos, Zman Matan Torasenu, irrespective of whether the mitzvah of Omer applies or not. That's what we're being taught in Vasisa Chag Shavuos. It was necessary to teach that principle. And then the last point is associated with Sukkos, with Sukkot. And it says by Sukkot, probably more than any of the other regalim, this idea of simcha. The question is, what does simcha mean? And what is each time that it teaches us the phrase of simcha? For instance, in Emor, it says, Usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem shivas yamim. We should be in a state of simcha before the Lord your God for 7 days. Here in Re'eh, it says, V'samachta b'chagecha. It says, V'hayisa ach sameach. What's the v'samachta b'chagecha here versus usmachtem lifnei Hashem elokeichem shivas yamim? Okay, those are the questions we're going to deal with. And the Rav says something very beautiful. The phrase here, v'samachta b'chagecha, refers to the specifics of the mitzvah as discussed in the Gemara. The Gemara is Daf Kuf Tes Amud Aleph in Psachim. There's an obligation of Basar V'yayin to wear very nice clothing on Yom Tov, to give to children treats, toys, candies, you know, anything that will create an environment where a person is in a good mood, whether it's the clothing, whether it's the meat and wine, whether it's the toys and the candies. This mitzvah reflects the circumstances of the Jew in the land of Israel during biblical times. His grain silo, his wine cellar, and his olive press were full. He and his family would have plentiful provisions for the coming year. His rejoicing and gratitude to Hashem were instinctive. Thus, the use of the second person possessive. V'samachta, you will rejoice, b'chagecha, in your festival. The holiday indeed is his. It's your festival because you're happy, you're satisfied. It's the harvest season, it's been a good year financially, right? The osbicha, right, as you gather in, let me just quote the exact pasuk. It says, Ki yivarechecha Hashem elokecha b'chol tavu ascha u'v'chol ma'ase yadecha. When Hashem blesses you with the huge harvest, with a wonderful harvest and with all the work of your hands, okay? What's the point? The point is, that's the simcha. Unfortunately, the period in history when a Jew in the land of Israel could revel in this abundance with which Hashem had blessed him, it was brief indeed. This instinctive form of thanksgiving was relevant for a period of only a few hundred years. But on Sukkot, there's another type of simcha. It's not about the wine that you've harvested, the oil you've harvested, or the grain you've harvested. No. It's the simcha space of Shoeva. This simcha is not celebrated with wine, but with water. Although the verse states that one should rejoice for 7 days, the simcha space of Shoeva was celebrated after night had descended, when one's vision was obscured. At that moment, the Azara became intensely illuminated as the righteous men juggled their torches and the prophets would sing on the Song of Ascents, the Shir HaMaalos. What motivated this celebration? There was no wine, no meat at the Simchas Beis HaShoveva, only water. The celebration was not motivated by a successful harvest. Rather, this Simcha was an expression of the joy of being Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, before the Lord your God. When a Jew senses that he is in the presence of Hashem, it makes no difference if the year was a good year or a bad year, if he is poor or he is rich, if he is comfortable or suffering. If one is before Hashem, if one is before God, then there's truly simcha. The simcha is the rejoicing one feels in the shadow of the divine presence, symbolized by the schach of the sukkah. Doesn't matter that you have a flimsy roof. It doesn't matter that you can't protect yourself. You are lifnei Hashem. You're directly before God. Personal circumstances do not affect this rejoicing. It could be raining or sunny. He may be healthy or in physical pain. When he is lifnei Hashem, there is only jubilation. Another point the Rav made: Sukkot is the holiday most clearly associated with this concept of simcha due to its proximity to Yom Kippur. The simcha of Sukkot derives from the communal forgiveness of our sins that the Jewish people go through, experience on Yom Kippur, the celebration of which actually takes place during Sukkot. Because sin creates a separation between man and Hashem, one feels great happiness upon attaining forgiveness of sin. True joy and delight are experienced only when one feels himself directly in Hashem's presence. So what do we learn? We learn that the notion of simcha means where one is in the presence of God. One is living in a healthy reality and is aware of that reality. That's what simcha is. Okay? There's other types of simcha, v'samachta b'chagecha. That's creating an environment, creating a fertile soil which will enable you to have a positive, meaningful experience during the holiday. But the ultimate simcha, which is referred to, usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, is what? Is being in God's presence. Why Sukkot more than any other time? Not because of the harvest and because now we're going to have financial means for the year. That's v'samachta b'chagecha. But because it's after Yom Kippur. We've restored our relationship with Hashem. We feel close to Hashem. And that's why Sukkot is associated with Simcha, the ultimate Simcha.